Good to be with you again, Saints. Communion service. Just the Lord has just about hit me breathless all day today myself. I thank Him for His blessings upon this little group. And I know His eyes are upon you. I've been with my wife for several years now, 20 some odd years. You forgive me, it fails to come to me at the moment, but I love her more now than I ever have because she's been with me through thick and thin. And that's kind of the way I feel about you Saints. You know, go through a lot of things and a lot of trials, a lot of battles, but the saints and the folks that are there day in and day out, and they fight the battles and they don't run. They don't run out of the foxhole. That means a lot to me. And I know it means a lot to the Lord. And so I believe He's got a place for saints like that. You know, every church, it's kind of funny. I don't mean to keep you standing, but a church is kind of like a washing machine. I've said this before, but if you ever had your washing machine get out of balance, when you put a load in there, and that load's really not part of the washing machine itself, but it's out of balance and causes the washing machine to go bouncing across the floor. You know, a church has a core group of people who are balanced. And the greater that group is, the more they can handle what's not balanced. So it's whenever that's not balanced gets too big that they start, you know, things start moving around. And so it's important, I know, that a church have a good solid group of believers that really are the core part of the church. And they're there to help be a blessing for all those that may come and go and their life may not be steady in the Lord. Well, that's what we want to do. We want to be here just like our Father. We want to be consistent day in and day out and to not have any variableness of turning, no shadow of variableness of turning, but just to be constant there, a blessing and a place where the Lord can speak to people and they can come and find God. And that's what we want. And so I just wanted to just tell you that I appreciate you and I just growing to love each of you more and more each day. So we'll go ahead and read the scriptures here. Just go ahead and open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and we'll read. I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time talking to you this afternoon. I said most of what was on my heart this morning, but just to kind of cover just a few comments, a few quotes, and then we'll go ahead and move into the communion service. But First Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, where we'll start reading. Appreciate the sisters getting things together so we could kind of have the lunch and the intermission that we had there, time to get together. Didn't have to go to a restaurant and go through all the crowds and the music and stuff. We were able to kind of keep the day sanctified a little bit. So I appreciate that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. This is Paul speaking. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." This is what we're going to do tonight. "And after the same manner, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as oft as you eat and eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever should eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that really means he means that some have already passed away, some are dead. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity this afternoon to be with your people. It's a special day to us, Lord. I know we've set it aside for this time, but it's amazing to me, Lord, how that you get in the midst of it and how that you receive our worship and our efforts, Lord. That's really what we want, Lord, is to have your presence dwelling among us, that you would have your way, because we know that all good things come, Lord, whenever your presence is there. It's done right, and people are blessed, and people go away healed and saved, and that's what we want, Lord, in our midst. We don't want a bunch of tradition, Lord, even though we know that there's things we do repetitiously, but we ask God for that one thing, and that is for your fellowship. It's what you ask the Father that we could have together, and we know it's the desire of your heart. So we ask God this afternoon as we move through this service that your blessings will be with us, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I have kind of shared with the saints lately, and I think I might have mentioned it to all of us, not just on Thursday night, but I've gained an extra respect for Apostle Paul and what he has given us. It's become more real to me. And I guess when you really think about it, the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this hour, the opening of the seven seals, and that revelation brought to us an understanding that the Lord poured himself out in seven ages in the form of seven men. And those seven men, well, up until a prophet in our day has revealed this, we didn't have a clue that that's what God was doing. We had no idea. We just thought Luther was some preacher. We didn't know. And so this revelation in this day has come, has helped us to understand that God poured himself out in those seven messengers, and they did their work throughout the ages, and that at the end time, God would gather together all those saints of those seven ages, and he would do it by bringing back together those seven angels, bring them together and bring them into a moment where what we would call the opening of the seven seals. And we realized through all that Apostle Paul was that first church age messenger for that, and that he started the whole thing, and it's attacked by the fire of God in the Old Testament. They couldn't offer strange fire. They had to take the same original fire that was there, and that was what they had to use to relight with day after day. And so, you know, Aaron's sons came in and offered strange fire. They got fire from somewhere else and came and tried to offer that and let that be part of God's program. And, of course, you know what happened to them because of that. And so that's a type to show you that God had a plan. But that same fire that fell on the day of Pentecost, he'd see to it that you and I'd get it today. He made sure of that. We don't have to question that. But it come God's way. It come through those seven messengers right down and fell right in our lap. And that's what we have today. So we can rest assured knowing that. And so it has brought me a closer walk with the Lord. It's brought a greater respect to me for Apostle Paul, because it's so important that what we have today, that it be right on top of that original foundation that Paul laid. And it's that vision. I've always enjoyed that vision that Brother Branham had of going beyond the curtain of time and seeing all the people come, and the millions, and how they were, you know, dressed, and all of them in the splendor of youth, around 20 years old, somewhere in there. And some of the ladies, sisters were there that were, you know, around 20 years old, were, while here on this earth, they were past 90, you know, when they were saved and heard the message, and the grace of God had reached them, even in that late hour. And we know that's a hard thing for someone, because the older you get, the more set you are in your ways, and most people usually find the Lord early on. So even to see that even the power of God, even with somebody that old and that set in their ways, he could still touch their life and bring them into the kingdom. And they stood there in the splendor of youth and saying, my precious brother, to Brother Branham, because it was him who had preached the gospel to them and brought them in. And that's why they said, my precious brother. They were so concerned and in love with, not you know, loving what Brother Branham for what he had done, and we know that was just the Lord Jesus Christ that worked through him to do that. But you see, that place where this happened, Brother Branham said, was more than sublime. You couldn't even begin to tell how wonderful that place was. And he said there, you know, I want to see the Lord. And they told him, you can't do that right now because he's a little higher. But they told Brother Branham, they said, you know, but he'll come someday. The Lord will come. And when he comes, he will judge you first because you were a leader on the earth. So he was a leader on earth. And here's all these converts there calling him precious brother in a place that's sublime. No sin, no death, no pain, no sorrow in that dimension. And God let him see that because a prophet has a gift that allows him to go forward and back in time, and he actually can live it. Not more, it's more than just watching the TV, but he experiences it, and he can actually experience something that's way off over in the millennium or past the millennium, come into eternity, or come back way off some other time when somebody was in their doctor's office. He actually goes there through that gift to such a degree. So God let him move forward and see this and see the saints that would be brought to him underneath the message of this day. And there they were in that dimension. And Brother Branham said, well, I want to see Jesus. And they said, well, you can't right now, but he'll come. And when he comes, he'll judge you first because you were a leader on earth. And he said, and if you're accepted, then your converts, you see, then they'll be accepted too. Why? Because they were underneath his ministry. And Brother Branham asked the question to that presence of the angel or whoever it was he was talking to there. And he said, well, if that's the case, will Apostle Paul have to have that same thing happen? Will God come to him and judge him for the message he preached to those people in his day? And the answer came back and said, yes. He'll be judged too because he was a leader in his day. And if that's the case, Brother Ben said, well, then if that's so, if Paul makes it in, his group makes it in, then I will have a problem because I haven't deviated one bit from what Paul taught. And in that dimension, all those saints shouted with one accord, we're resting on that. See, those saints in that dimension, not right here where we fight with all kinds of doubts and things that try to tell us it's not so, but in that dimension, in that presence of all that, all them saints with one accord are very certain of one thing. That if that prophet stayed with Paul, and we know he did, we know there's not going to be a problem when it comes time for the Lord, because we all shouted. We were there. I consider myself having been there, having been there in that vision. We shouted and said, we're resting on that. Amen. Now, I know that sounds kind of far-fetched because we're used to natural things and all that, but if we believe anything about the Bible, anything about what God did through people through the ages, it's not a problem for us to understand that he can do that same thing today. And the fact that it's scripturally, ties right back to scripture, means a lot. So I have a lot more respect for Apostle Paul. And as I said this morning, for us Gentiles to believe that we're going to make it, we know that we want to believe that gospel that Paul brought us. And I said that to tell you that because of the scriptures we just read. Paul said that he had received from God the same thing that he delivered to the people. He had told them how to do this. He said, look, I'm not telling you something different than what I've gotten from the Lord. The Lord gave me this. This is what he did. It's what he's given to me. And I've delivered it to you. Wow, there's that first church age master speaking and saying, look, I've laid this foundation. This is what we got to have. And so he describes it and gives a little more detail to us about what it means and what it means if you're not in the right state of mind and the right situation, what happened and what it's all about. And so we know that Brother Branham came along and even gave us even more clarity to what was laying there. And so we find out through all this that communion really was started back in. We'll start with Abraham. When Abraham was singled out by God to be his son and to start the faith, he was the foundation of the movement. So God dealing with that foundation, like God dealing with Paul, starting that foundation. It's come in that situation with Abraham, with a covenant, and then Abraham went through many tests, and at some point, when Abraham had become victorious over some things, God came to him in the form of a man by the name of Melchizedek. And we know from the New Testament, it's written there, but even through things that have come out in our day, that that was none other than God in a form. Before he became Jesus Christ in the flesh, it was God in that form. And he came down and he appeared to Abraham, and he brought to Abraham bread and wine. He brought to Abraham communion. Brother Branham pointed out and said he brought to his victorious son. Said, and he tied it to this. Brother Branham tied it to this. He said, once you've done, I forget exactly the phrase he used, but once you have battled with yourself and you beat yourself, in other words, all the things of self that gets in the way of God, once you've battled that and whipped that all out, then you get to be partakers of this communion from God. And so that's what I was talking about this morning. We have to come to this, we have to fight with it, and we come out victorious. And once we have that victory, then we can be partakers of this communion. And that's what God was doing. And you find out that actually the covenant God had given Abraham was not a covenant of the law. It was a covenant of grace, which you and I have today. The scriptures tell us in Galatians that he established that covenant with Abraham, but it was for him and his seed, singular, after him, which would be Christ, which would come over here later on. And then the law was added to just kind of, as a schoolmaster, to go along for a while until it come time for that seed, Christ, to come on the scene. And then that covenant that was given to Abraham would come into full force over here, which would be in the days of us Gentiles. And so God had come to Abraham, and Brother Graham says what he did for Abraham, he does for Abraham's seed. And so if over here Christ Jesus was going to die for our sins, resurrect, and the life that he was going to resurrect in and come back to you and I in the form of the Holy Ghost, and that life that he resurrected in could not die, could never die again because he paid that price. He'll never die again. He'll be ever living to make intercessions upon us, right? That's what the scripture said. If Jesus was going to be that for that covenant, then as a priesthood, right? Because he's our high priest. If he was going to do that for you and I, and God really established this over here to Abraham, then he would have to come to Abraham in the form of one who was like that Melchizedek, as the scripture said. He would come, and he would be that person who had no beginning, no end. You see what I'm saying? And so what Jesus was, he had to appear to Abraham that same way. And that's why Melchizedek came as one who had no father, no mother, no beginning of days, or ending of life. And then, so then the scriptures, after Melchizedek came, then the scriptures come along and started talking about he'd raise up a priest like unto the order of Melchizedek. Well, it's all talking about Jesus all along.
Yeah.
But he would be one who would never die, and he'd be ever present up there to make intercessions on our confessions and upon our profession. And so that was what God had established with Abraham. And Melchizedek, this priesthood, this ever-living one, is the one that came to Abraham and brought to him communion, brought to him bread and wine. Brother Ram said that what God does when he brings communion, this is just a type of it, right? This is just a type and an ordinance that we do symbolizing. The church world, the world likes to do things that symbolizes something, but they have a symbol without the something. That God has given us something to symbolize, representing the something that is there. And so this is just a symbol, but what it's a symbol of is God giving you his life, his flesh, his blood, as I read this morning, giving that to you. And Brother Graham said what he does is he gives you of himself. So if God is the only form of eternal life and he loves you and he wants you to live, he'd have to give himself to you to get you to live. So he comes down and he breaks himself up, pours himself out as a sacrifice, lets you be partakers of that in spirit and in truth. His flesh was word, right? That's the word was made flesh. So when it says, unless you eat the flesh, it means unless you take that word into you and drink his blood, to take that spirit, that life into you. And just as comes to mind at the moment, that's one reason why I like the name that we put on this, Spirit and Truth Assembly, because they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You can't just have the Word, you've got to have the Spirit to put in order.
That's right.
And so that's what Jesus does. It's in here in this form. It's in the bread and the wine. It's the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we take that into us, and it's the very life of God that we take into us when we do that. And it's the life of the Holy Ghost. This is a symbol form that we do this, and it's there for us, as I said this morning, to come to it, for us to confront our walk with God and our position, so we don't become stale. And I'm glad for that. Thank God for that, because if we didn't have something to straighten us out once in a while, we'd just kind of drift off in our traditions or whatever it is we get in the custom of doing, and wind up in some rut or something there. So we're thankful for that. God has come down and gives us of Himself. And so, saints, we come around the communion table, as I tried to express this morning. We come, it's not just individuals that are coming. It is, because it's between you and God. But I want you to begin to see that we come as one unit. We come as a body. The sooner and the more that we can act like a body that God wants, the more you're going to see happen in the midst of this church. And I just have to trust and believe that God is dealing with all other message churches around the world in some special way, bringing them to the same thing. But I know that it's a sooner that we are a body. It doesn't mean that every person that walks in the door is the part of the body. But you see, over a process of time, and them coming, and their commitment, and they finally come in, and in their spirit, they do become one of us. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. We become one. And then God can do things through that body like that. And so, but as a core group, group of people that really are the center, really the firmness, the group rooted and grounded people in the church, then that's the body. And we come together as a body, as one group, when we come around the communion table. And like I said, you know, having been through thick and through thin, it makes all the difference in the world. You know, you feel you're part of a body and you feel that way. And I'm going to read a few out of the communion book. I'm just going to read a few passages of a few quotes that stuck out to me, and then we'll move forward. Brother Ram said, he said, there's one thing I'd like to say just before we get started in communion, and that's this. He said, I believe that we have seen, and I'm saying this because I want you to ask yourself the same thing or consider this. I believe that we have seen enough in our day that we live in that we ought to really give our all of our being to God. We should really serve God. I believe that He has blessed us with the direction, with the direct answer to Scripture, as Brother Perry gave a few moments ago. And he said, we're at a time where we're not blind. He said, we know we've arrived. We know we've come to something. He said, we also can look around and see the way the human mind is leaving the people. He's talking about insanity beginning to break out upon people. He said, we begin to see that. He said, we can't stay much longer. I'm at the bride of Christ. He said, we can't stay much longer. He said, why? He said, it's a complete insane institution, the whole world. So he's beginning to say they don't send them in. It's not, they used to send them into insane asylum. He said, but now it's so much that the whole world's becoming that. And he said, you know, we can't stay here much longer without being that way, that insanity. We've got, something has to come along there. And so, he says, now as Brother Perry ended up there, this had just spoken, he said, Brother Perry ended up there, seeing these things are true, seeing that they are true. They're not a myth. Brother Ben's saying, these things that we've seen God do, the seven seals, all the stuff has been, he said, that's not a myth. Seeing these things are true. He said, They're not just something we imagine. They're something that's been directly given to us by the Word of God and manifested publicly before us that we know we are here. So Brother Brown's telling us, look, this is not just, you know, this has happened, and we know it has come directly from the Scriptures, something God has sent specifically for a purpose. He said, Paul talking here, taking the literal Lord's Supper, he said, do this in remembrance of me, said Jesus. As oft as you take it in remembrance of me, you show forth the Lord's death till he comes. So that we know that until the Lord comes and takes us away, we need to be able to be partakers of this. I'm just kind of passing through some that I gave a check mark on. Now, if we would say the communion should be just taking the word, I don't believe anyone has a right to take the Lord's Supper until he has taken the word of the Lord into his heart. So, you know, taking it physically being a sign of the fact that you have taken that word, you've received that word, taking the blood that you've received that spirit is what he's saying. Don't do that. You shouldn't do that unless you know you've taken that word and you've said, yes, Lord, to the word that has come in this hour. Brother Graham said, you've got to live a life and that before the people and before God and the people that shows that you are sincere. That you are sincere. We believe that. He talked in there about how the children of Israel, they went and they do their sacrifices, and he said it actually was something God had put in place, but their heart wasn't in it. It became a tradition to them. And when it became a tradition and they were no longer sincere in their heart, even though it was the thing that God told them to do, because they weren't sincere, it became a stench in the nose of God. Amen. And we don't want to do that. You know, some people might think we should have communion more often or, you know, whatever. But however often it is, we do it to show his death until he comes. But however often that is, don't ever let it become something common to you. Because if you let it become common, it ceases to be the cleansing factor we talked about this morning. We always want to hold it in high regard. And I know you do. I know that those of you sitting here listening to me now, I know that you do. We understand that. And so we don't want it to be just a tradition. Brother Graham said, he said, you know, the hour, and he's talking to the church here, he says, the hour will soon arise when right among us the Holy Spirit will speak out like it did with Ananias and Sapphira. He said, remember, see, the hour is arriving, see, and we are, and he stops. And if you go back and listen to this, you listen to how he does it. He stops and he turns back around from what he was fixing to say. He said, now you just remember that. See, God is going to dwell among his people. That's what he wants to do. And I said that because I want you to know, God's going to dwell among his people. Amen. And it might not be good for Ananias and Sapphira if they show up, if they're hanging around. But God, he said, you just remember that. God's going to dwell among his people. And I don't want to see something like an Ananias and Sapphira happen, whatever. But God's a holy God. He's got principles, and he's got backbone. And he will stand up and deal with situations as they need to be dealt with. So we know he can do that, and we give him that liberty. Brother Ram says, he said, and remember, I could give many testimonies on this, where I've took that, he's talking about what he just explained, I took that and explained it in the sick room and seen them healed. Just by explaining that, that's how I ended it up. People being healed by the right understanding and by the right attitude about these things, and divine healing actually can come to them. And so, just want to bow our hearts again as the brothers get ready to come, Brother Tim, Brother Daniel, we'll just pray just for a moment as these brothers come. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord.
We don't take this as a light time, a light moment, Lord. We hold it with great reverence in the heart, seeing how, Lord, that your presence has been near today and blessed our hearts. It helps us to know, Lord, that you are so caught up in the midst of your people and loving them and bringing the pasture blessings upon them. And Lord, it just it almost takes our breath away to see this, Lord. Even here at this end time, God, as you're manifesting the truths that you have given so many people in such doubt, but Lord, even in the midst of all that, you still manifest your word and have shown yourself to be that faithful and true witness that you promised to be. And Lord, I just ask, as one of your people in leadership here in this church, I ask God that you would bring a blessing upon your people. Lord, that you would just anoint them, cause them to rise up in strength, Lord, like they've never known before. Strengthen your spirit. Lord, may you quicken the word of God to them more than ever before. And Lord, whatever you're doing, we pray, God, you just keep doing it, moving us on down closer and closer to that great hour we're looking for, Lord. Lord, we don't want to try and bypass our responsibilities and leave any sooner than we should. But Lord, we do look forward to that time that we can all be together in that place that we spoke of a few minutes ago. We ask, God, that you just continue to bless and be in the midst of this service now. Bless each one as they come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Before we get moving just for a moment here, I just wanted to point out something, saints. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And somebody sent me a link a couple of days ago and asked me if I'd heard of this story, and some of you may have. If you don't have a TV, you might not have, but just a week or so back, they ran a news clip of a man who had died. About, I don't know, 38 years old, died of a heart attack. Doctors working on him all day, and finally he died. They couldn't do nothing for him. And he laid there in that hospital room, I think it was about 45 or 50 minutes, with nothing. Doctors had done pronounce it, left. Said there's nothing they can do for him. And his little boy. The little children listened to this. His son, I don't know how old he was, but the news people said that boy wouldn't give up. And they didn't say what denomination they were of or whatever, but they said that little boy, at about 50 minutes in, after they pronounced him dead, 50 minutes later, that boy standing at that bedside with his pastor is what they said. And that man come back to life, and it was on national news. They testified to it just a week or so back. And so, God's not a respecter of person. He pours out his rain on the just and the unjust. And I'm not trying to make those people unjust. I don't know what they are. Okay, they might have been message believers for all I know. Well, but I'm telling you, he's still alive today. And I believe he lets things like that happen just so you can to help us realize, you know what, he is still willing to do exactly what he said he would do. We're going to ask Brother Tim if he'd break the bread and pray over it as we get ready.
Lord Jesus, we are honored by this opportunity to get together, Lord God, around this occasion, Lord God, that you provided for us, Lord. Check upon ourselves, Lord God, and make sure we are worthy of your broken body, Lord. Pray that you would now bless this bread, Lord. Let it nourish our bodies, but Lord, may we get the spiritual application of this thing too, Lord Jesus. That we are partaking spiritually of you, Lord God, and we are showing that we are part of you, Lord God, and we accept you, Lord God. Pray that you would be with us, service, Lord God. Help each one of us, Lord, draw closer to you, Lord, in every facet of our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Amen.
Can you break down your question, Lord, please?
Heavenly Father, we come to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for you to bless this line, God. Lord, we're doing this as a symbol for you, God. Lord, we're seeing your spirit, Father. Lord, I ask you, God, help us to walk in your spirit, God. Lord, let me talk in your spirit, sing in your spirit, God. everything that we do. God, may we be so inhabited by you. Lord, your presence among us in our daily walk, in our homes, in our church, God, wherever we're at, Lord, may we bring your anointing upon us. God, I ask you, Lord, if there be one lacking the Holy Ghost, God, that they could be sealed, Lord. Lord, may we have a refilling of your Holy Spirit, Father. We love you. We appreciate you, God. We ask you in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you.
10,000 praises to our King. Amen. How many thank Him for what He's done for you?
Amen.
This foot washing just a little while ago. And I remember seeing my Uncle Richard, as I referred to him the other day, here at service, and it's quite a blessing to me. Many prayers, many years. But you know, the grace of God is sufficient. And I remember when my wife and I had waited for so long to have a son, we had Joseph. And of course, he died in childbirth. And I remember Aunt Mary and Uncle Richard coming to the house after that happened. And, you know, Brother Richard used to be a drug dealer in Chicago. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But it's a testimony, brother. And he come in the door of the house there that day, and, you know, as many people would come and hug your neck to kind of console you for what you just experienced. But when Brother Richard come in the door, he did something just a little bit out of the nature of Richard, what I would consider to be what I thought was Richard's nature. He gave me a hug, but his hug was different. And something lodged in my heart, right then. Because that one hug meant more to me than all the hugs in the world. I don't know why, but it meant something to me. And I guess because of that, it's caused me to have a more fond feeling in my heart for him and a more fervent prayer for him. And so I just wanted to kind of just, maybe not so much tell you about that, but tell him I recognize that. I noticed that when he came in, and so perhaps today, being able to be in communion with him and foot washing with him, that would be just a little bit of fruits and a blessing from all the things that's transpired over the years. But anyway, God bless you, saints. I'd like to sing Jesus Use Me. It's a little bit faster of a song, but I'd like to sing that before we go, because I want us all to go from here now is renewed, refreshed, and asking the Lord to use us. Amen. And so Psalm 247. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness. How many feel that way?
Amen.
Dear Lord, I need no witness. If you will help my weakness, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. My eyes of faith are sleeping upon the cross. Thank you.
trust that you feel that way. Amen. We get ready to close the service. I want to thank you for being in the house of the Lord today, being in this communion service, and I'd like to ask the saints that you would join with me in prayer for those that missed today, those that we know we need a closer walk, those that walked among us and is not walking among us right now. Ask that you show that you'll pray. Joining with us as we seek to have full edification of this body. Amen. And we can't truly have full edification of this body when we have spouses sitting here, women sitting here with their spouses at home, not here. You understand what I'm saying? Though we might be fully edified with that individual sitting there whose husband is not here or whose wife is not here, if it's that case, they're not fully edified. You understand what I'm saying? And so it is a body. It is a body issue. And it is a body thing. And I believe the Holy Spirit working in the midst of us all will help us do the things. And we have to just be willing to let God move, let Him work, give Him time to do what He's going to do. Sometimes it takes years. And but we don't want to rush God. We just want to be in tune with Him. So we'll bow our hearts for prayer just for a moment as we can really go. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this day, for this time, and for these people. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord, that's been with us. See us to this day. Lord, to deal with our hearts. Lord, I want to thank you personally for myself, dealing with my heart, Lord. I know, God, that there has to be a greater manifestation of your presence in my life for it to be in this church. And I accept that, Lord. I know that there needs to be a higher level of sanctification for the ministry, and I accept that too, Lord. And I ask, God, that you would bring to pass your will for this assembly. And I know, God, that in that will, each one of us will be in a better position later than we are now, because you always take us forward in your grace and closer to yourself. Ask God that you'd be with us as we go. Be with those who travel great distances to get home. Keep them safe on the highways. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. Until next service time, we'll see you.